Last week we talked about how Micah was preaching to the people of God in the midst of the market day. And you might remember that he was confronting the people of God for the injustice of having unequal weights and measures. And the people of God were confronted with this because this was an injustice done against the people of God. And Micah reminded them from the book of Leviticus and from the book of Deuteronomy that this is an injustice that God hates. This is not something, as we said, from a socialism handbook, but it is from the law of God, that God demands justice from the people that bear his name and for the people that bear his name. And what's Micah's desire? This must have been a very difficult sermon for him to preach. To preach to the people of God, knowing that among those who are the best givers in the church, there was injustice. There was a sin that needed to be confronted. And Micah would have desired to see fruit. To see fruit from this preaching and this teaching that is in accordance with the Word of God. And he would have first off wanted to see the fruit of repentance. To see the people of God cry out, asking for God to forgive them, asking for God to make things right and turn from that sin and again walk in obedience to the Word of God. And as a pastor, I promise you that Micah would have desired this response. No pastor that is actually called to be a minister wants to insult the people of God by calling out their sin without a heartfelt desire to see them walking in obedience to the Lord. Micah would have desired to see this response out of obedience and faith. But what does he see? He sees that the people of his time don't really care. Remember, he's told them of coming judgment. He's told them that their economy is about to crash. He's told them that they would be taken into Babylon. He's told them of the sin that they are committing against the poor and against the least of these in their society. He told them the way that their life is reflecting a commitment to false gods rather than the God of the Bible. And how do they respond? Look at verses 1 through the first part of 4. We see that Micah is bearing the weight of the backslidden. He says, "Woe is me! For I have become as when the summer fruit has been gathered, as when the grapes have been gleaned. There is no cluster to eat, no first ripe fig that my soul desires. The godly has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among mankind. They all lie in wait for blood, and each hunts the other with a net. Their hands are on what is evil to do it well. The prince and the judge ask for a bribe. The great man utters the evil desire of his soul. Thus they weave it together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright of them, a thorn hedge." If you've ever heard pastors talking about their congregations, the language of fruit and picking fruit is something that frequently and often comes up in discussion. You know, you'll hear of somebody taking a call to a congregation, and another pastor will say to this pastor that's taken a call, "What sort of fruit are you hoping to pick?" You know, that sort of language is used. And Micah here is using that language, but notice what he says. Notice what he says about their the fruit that would be picked among the people of God. He says that he is one seeking summer fruit that has all been gathered. It's all been gleaned after the harvest. He's wanting the fruit of his labor as a minister of the gospel, and there's no fruit that is able to be picked. He says it's as if the gleaners have gotten everything. You know, you go to the fig tree and you want to break off that nice fig and bite into that fig, and there's nothing. There is no fruit left on the vine. He wants to glean, but there's nothing there. You see, Micah has observed that the condition of the people is very sad, that they are in a sad spiritual state. To ask you, do you have enough insight, spiritual insight, to know when another is growing cold as a Christian? This is a question that in different ways I will often bring to you, but do you know enough of the signs of coldness and deadness in spiritual life? We often talk about using the means of grace, and we talk about reading the scriptures, and we talk about how when somebody is growing cold and moving away from God, their attendance at church is less than it used to be, and the way in which they talk about the things of God, they're just not as interested in those things anymore. And this is what Micah has. These are not pagans that he is preaching to. These are not even apostates necessarily that he's preaching to. These are circumcised Jewish men. These are faithful in synagogue attendance. And yet what is happening is that the truths of the Word of God is having very little effect on their lives. There is not change, biblical change, that is seen. And Micah says, as I go and as I preach and as I minister and as I do these things, I look out and I see no fruit. There's no fruit from the labors. He is like a gleaner in summer, and there is nothing there. And I want you to notice in the second and third verse that he says that the godly have perished from off of the earth, and that there is evil and there's bribery and there's nonsense that's going on that is beyond even the imagination of Micah. He basically says there is something here that the people are so good at, that they're so advanced in, and it's doing that which is wicked, doing that which is evil in the sight of God. Calvin said, here now he does not personify the land. It was indeed a forcible and emphatic language when he complained at the beginning that he groaned as though the land was ashamed. But the prophet now performs the office of a teacher. Perished, he says, has the righteous from the land. There is no one upright. All lay in wait for blood. Everyone hunts his brother as with a net. In vain the godly men are sought among this people, for they are all bloody and fraudulent. When he says that they all did lay in wait for blood, he no doubt intended to set forth their cruelty as though he had said that they were thirsting for blood. See, this is the way Micah describes the context into which he is ministering. The church is in such a low state spiritually that it's as if the people of God are not hungry for the things of God and hungry for the Word of God and hungry for the means of grace. They're hungry for blood. And it's the blood of brothers and sisters that they are eating. So the people are not responsive to the gospel, and Micah laments and he cries out and he's concerned with their own success and their own prosperity, but there's no one here, at least from Micah's perspective, that is concerned with his or her own soul. Connect that to what we talked about this morning. Jesus reminds us that we are not to fear him who can destroy the body, but we are to fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Jesus reminds us that we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added to us. The context in which Micah is ministering is that is flipped on its head. They are seeking the world, and they are going about it in the most evil of ways because they're trampling over the souls of brothers and sisters to get the things that they want in this life. And Micah calls it seeking blood. And then he gives a little illustration. You'll notice in verse 4, he illustrates them by calling them briars and thorn hedges. Briars and thorn hedges. Do you see that in verse 4? And I think that we can understand that really well, those of us that live in the hilly sections of Los Angeles. I don't know if it's this way in the flatter areas of Los Angeles, but every year, those of us that live in the hills, we get a notice in the mail from the fire marshal that all of the dry brush needs to be moved away from the property. And they give us the directions, you know, it needs to be this many feet from an outbuilding, and it needs to be this far from this and that far from that. And basically the city is saying, we need all the hills cleared of the brush. And why is that? Well, because it burns, and it burns quickly. You know, we can think about how we're just now entering fire season, and we will see many, many fires throughout the summer months. And some of those fires will start because homeowners didn't properly remove the brush and the briar from their properties. And Micah here is looking out at the people of God, and he's saying, you know, there's no fruit to be picked. There's nothing of life in these people. There's no visible way that shows that these people are responding by faith. And he calls them briar and hedges. See, briars and hedges burn quickly. And what's left? Just ash. Now, if you go on the 210 and you see where the big fire was last year, you can see the trees that were burnt out, and they're black, and those will come back. Green will be on them again. But where there was briar and brush, what is left? Nothing. It's just flat. All of that gets burned down to nothing. Of course, the seeds will come back of that, but what is seen is nothing. And this is what Micah is telling the people of God, of all of their investment into the things of this world and all of their investment into taking the people of God and being savage among them. He's saying that what will be left is nothing. Are you seeking the kingdom of God? Or are you seeking that which is of no value? This would be the question that Micah would put before us. Wanting to see fruit, and yet questioning whether, if he put the people to the fire, if anything would be left, if he were to purify them, what would stand? And then in the oracle, in the second half of verses 4 through 7, he tells us more about the way in which the people have devoured one another. He says, the day of your watchmen, of your punishment has come. Now their confusion is at hand. Put no trust in a neighbor. Have no confidence in a friend. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your arms. For the son treats his father with contempt, and the daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. What Micah is doing is he is taking very familiar prophetic language and he's turning it backwards. You can think of the prophet Joel. And Joel tells us that as the gospel begins to flourish and as the Holy Spirit comes and descends upon the people, that the hearts of fathers will be turned back to sons. The hearts of sons will be turned back to fathers. That your daughters will prophesy. Your sons, the old men, will dream dreams. And what Micah is doing here is he's saying, as we look out at the effects of the gospel on the people of God, we see none of it. We see that no one is trusting the neighbor. There's no confidence that even that person with whom you share a bed at night, that you can't even share secrets, that it's not worth it. That sons treat fathers with contempt and daughters rise up against mothers. He is telling of the confusion of the people of God. And he says that the watchmen are seeing this. You know, the watchmen are those that are on the city walls making sure that the city is safe from attack. And he's sort of mixing metaphors. He's saying that the watchmen are watching the church, and what they see is not enemies from outside coming in to destroy the people of God, but the people of God are doing it to themselves. That the danger is within, even here. The pastors and church leaders of the Old Testament were to be watchmen. And Micah says that the confusion here is at hand. Those who are called to be the moral and spiritual leaders of the people of God, it's as if they don't even know what they're doing. And the enemies of the church are those in their own house. But Micah stands against that. You know, this is discouraging. Much of Micah is sad, it's contemplative, it's reflective, it's soul-searching. But Micah encourages us when he says in verse 7, "But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." Friends, be encouraged by that. Be encouraged to know that despite whatever circumstances in your life would make you consider turning away from the Lord or devouring the people of God, whatever that situation is, we see here as Micah stands looking to the Lord, waiting on the God of his salvation, we too must wait. And that is not a message that's, you know, be a Micah. It's not encouraging you to be a Micah. It's encouraging you to wait on the Lord as Micah waits on the Lord. To put your trust in Him. To rest in Him. Micah's faith in God is shown to be unshakable. He knew that the Lord would not let him down. And he's discovered that even though there are many ways that the people who claim to be of God are failing Micah and failing the people of the Lord, that the Lord Himself will never let Micah down. Friends, be encouraged by that. Being part of the body of Christ means that we live in community with other sinners who are forgiven. We are not made perfect until our deaths. And there will be times when the people in this room let you down. There will be times when other Christians let you down. There will be time that times when the elders of this church will let you down, that your pastor will let you down. But what Micah is encouraging us here, in contrast to that, is that we are not putting our hope in men. We are not putting our trust even in the people of God. We're putting our trust in the Lord, knowing that, as Micah says, I will wait for the God of my salvation, for God will hear me. Friends, to Him you are to call. To Him you are to pray. For Him you are to wait. As many of you and me at times lament the present day state of the church in our country and in parts of Europe and in parts of the world where Christianity once flourished. And we understand that there are many who are called to be watchmen and they seem to be confused. And there are many who claim to be believers and they seem to be briars, like Micah here says. We can never understand all that God is doing in the midst of that. And we can always have confidence in the Lord. We can always have confidence as we look to the one who saves and look to the one who loves and look to the one who redeems. Despite the outward circumstances of life, no matter how dark, we look to the God of Micah, knowing that He hears and that He saves. Amen.